You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. I think it was more of a conversation. Maybe there were moments of debate, or at least moments of response, but yesterday, Dianne Feinstein and Kevin DeLeon sat down in San Francisco at the Public Policy Institute for a broadcast event. This is the only one of their campaign against each other to be elected U.S. Senator, and the only time Dianne Feinstein has debated a challenger since the year 2000. CAP Radio reporter Nadine Sabai was at the event. She's joining us by phone from San Francisco. Hi, Nadine.
Hi, Beth.
Do you want to start with an overall main takeaway from this event? And I think this was your first experience at a political debate on this level.
Yes, it was. And I was expecting a debate, and I did not get that. As you had mentioned, this truly was a conversation. Both Senator Feinstein and State Senator DeLeon were very cordial with one another. The main takeaway from this event is that the two Democrats agree on a lot, from how to deal with climate change to the Delta Tunnels project. But Senator DeLeon tried to separate himself by being the candidate that will shake things up in Washington. He wants to reform sexual misconduct in Congress, fight the Republican-led administration with hand and fist, and enact climate change reforms.
So because you're saying that, we have a clip from the debate in which DeLeon is talking about how he decided to take his own leadership position. So let's listen to this from yesterday.
Back in 2016, November 8th, late at night, I had made a decision, somewhat controversial, even among some Democrats, that I would help lead the resistance, because I think that we have to do everything within our power to protect our economic prosperity, to protect our values, and to protect our people. Unfortunately, this president has not held back. He said very clearly he was going to come after our immigrant families. He said very clearly that he was going to unravel any climate change progress by pulling out of the Paris Accords. It's very clearly that he went after Muslims with the Muslim ban, by going after California's fuel efficiency standards. It's very clear what this president set out to do. And unfortunately, sadly, he's been quite successful. And it's been California who's been the leading voice for the entire nation. And that's why the world looks towards California for leadership, not towards Washington, D.C., on the issue of climate change, on the issue of immigration reform, because there's been inaction in Washington, D.C., because it's so deeply dysfunctional.
In that soundbite, you really hear him positioning himself and California against the Trump administration. But it was clear, Nadine, as a listener, and I watched it online, that his strategy is to include Dianne Feinstein in that inaction and then point out specifically where she wasn't or didn't do enough, that kind of approach.
Exactly. He never mentioned Senator Feinstein by name. Instead, he would just mention the Democrats in Congress, and I think that that was his way of trying to jab at her a little bit. And what he is trying to pull himself as is this person that is not a veteran in the federal government, and that he can come in just like Donald Trump came in and shake things up, but for the Democratic side.
It was noted that we're in the midst of this one-year anniversary of We Said Enough and the Me Too movement. And with that, the question went to, as was expected, Senator Dianne Feinstein to respond to the Kavanaugh hearings, the confirmation process, and the fact that she received this letter and held it confidentially for so long. I'm going to pick up part of her long comments where she talks ultimately about her decision in the Kavanaugh confirmation.
I did not vote for Mr. Kavanaugh to be a member of the Supreme Court. As the ranking member, I argued against it to the best of my ability and argued on the floor against it. I think that as long as appointments are made in the way they're made, which is the president has the authority to make a judicial appointment, and we either, it's an advise and consent process. The problem is there's very little advice when the parties are different in the executive branch than they are in the legislative branch. There isn't the amount of consultation that would go on if this were a Democratic president with Democrats on the committee. And I think everybody can probably understand that.
And that emphasizes, I think, Nadine, the way she needed to respond to some of the national positions on national issues, but also answer to the California voters who want to know more and expect her to be a certain way because she's being elected in this state.
That's right. And I think she had constantly tried to portray herself as the person who has been in government for a very long time. And particularly with this event, she wanted to clear her name, that she was going to keep Dr. Christine Blasey Ford's letter confidential, that she wanted to enact stricter reforms, and that she did the right thing. And I remember during the event, I was looking around the room when the senator was talking about this, and people were nodding their heads in agreement, kind of more in support of her than anything else.
Let's hear one more piece of the debate. And this speaks to what you were saying, Nadine, about them being in agreement. They are two Democrats. This seat will remain a Democratic seat. And there certainly were things they see from the same point of view.
I actually think we're in agreement.
Okay.
I did the assault weapons legislation that was law for 10 years. I was the author of it. Before I went to the Senate, there was a shooting in 101 California Street, and a large number of people, I think everybody here probably knows that, were killed. And I thought, well, the time has come to really take weapons of war off the streets. And we wrote the bill, and it was law. The only way I could get it through, Kevin, was with a sunset of 10 years, which we did. And the numbers began to drop over time. And unfortunately, the bill sunset. I've introduced a second bill with Senator Murphy, and we have, I think, over 40 co-sponsors on it, improving it as we could. That bill will go nowhere in a Republican-dominated Senate and House. And that's reason to change things so we can do something.
And that sets up the hope that Democrats will have some power. But Nadine, speak to that a little bit about this idea of agreement and the atmosphere overall for these two competitors who, in some respects, aren't that far apart, in others are very wide apart.
Right. Well, this clip that you just pulled is a perfect example of what Senator Feinstein's position was during this entire conversation. She named De Leon by name in this instance, talking about gun violence, which has obviously defined her career. And she was trying to showcase that, you know, you can protest and say that you're going to fight and you do all these things once you get in government. But the reality is, this is how things work. I don't know how many times throughout this conversation, Senator Feinstein mentioned the idea that she is in the minority. Democrats are in the minority, and there's only so much that she can do. And she was saying that in response to De Leon, who was saying, you know, Democrats aren't doing enough and these sorts of things. And she was being the more realistic person, so to speak.
All right. Well, I know you're filing more reports. I'm going to refer people to the website, especially to find the link and listen to the entire debate. But needless to say, having a conversation like this, I don't know where you stand on this, but I think it's helpful, Nadine. And it's interesting, too, wasn't it?
It was really interesting. And I think it gave me a sense of relief, to be honest with you. Just to have two people having a conversation about the issues that they care about and not this sparring back and forth with one another. It was really great. Mm. And also the room was really kind of small and intimate. There were 12 television cameras behind me trying to fit in this small space. But from the beginning, the moderator, PPIC's Mark Baldessari, told the audience not to clap and to leave it to the end. They truly wanted to make this kind of an intimate space, and I think they succeeded in that.
All right, Nadine, thanks for your reporting today.
Thank you, Beth.
That is Cap Radio reporter Nadine Sabai from San Francisco. That link is at capradio.org. And this is Insight on Cap Radio. Thank you.